various different things. Although I live in Sutton Coldfield, there's the warmth of Tamworth that keeps drawing it back to me. So I was at the cinema Friday night. Yesterday I was stadium announcer at the Lamb. Come on, Tamworth. And here I am preaching on Sunday morning. I don't think I'm booked to be here tomorrow, but that'll be sad. But it's great to be back in Tamworth Baptist Church too. Last time I came here was to the car park to drop my wife off for a COVID jab. But before that, it was quite a few years, but fantastic to be back here. Now, somewhere there is a clicker for me to do something with this. So if the magic of technology works, there we go. Fantastic. So we've just had the scriptures read to us, and I just want to focus on this particular three verses from Ephesians, where it says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." When I was preparing for this, I was asking, you know, the Lord, what should I talk about? And he gave me one word, and that was trust. Oh, just spotted, I can see it there as well. That's good, isn't it? Don't have to turn around. The word was trust. And I think when people try to convince you of something that you may have doubts about, one of the things they can say to you is, you can trust me. And many people are vying for our trust today. But what are the tests that you put in place when you want to decide whether you want to trust them or not? Is it how well you know them? Have you been able to trust them before? What is their reputation? Have you done your research on the internet about them? A well-known politician a few years ago was quite graphical in his attempts to tell us that we could trust him, I do apologise for using these words, to get Brexit done. Do you remember how he went to? He said, "Come what may, do I die, or dead in a ditch." These were some of the popular phrases that Boris came out with in order to try and persuade us to leave the EU. He used the words to try and convince us that what he was saying was the truth. And we all know what happened to Boris and the truth. Trust is probably the most important quality in a relationship. It could be the relationship between a parent and a child. Now on the screen, on the left-hand side, is my daughter. That is Megan. 34 years tomorrow, Megan was born. 34 years ago tonight, and it was a Sunday, I arrived on the doors of Martin and Alison's house because my wife's waters had just broken. And the following morning, I was supposed to be doing an assembly at a school in Tamworth when I worked for Tamworth Youth for Christ. And Martin and Alison were hosting one of our Youth for Christ volunteers, and I needed to see him because I had to tell him at midnight he was going to do an assembly the next morning that he didn't know about, because I had to take Heather, my wife, to Good Hope Hospital. Well, 34 years later, Martin, that's what she looks like now. And that's her husband, Nick, and that's my two grandchildren, her son and daughter. That's Nico and Penelope. I'll come on to the dog in a minute. We tried to do a sequencing, but it didn't work on the transfer of the slides. But one of the most important relationships where trust is important is the relationship between a parent and a child. And a child in the vulnerability, so there's little Penelope there in her father's arms, completely trusting that he's not going to throw her in the air or drop her. That's the way it works, isn't it? It's trust is there right from the start. Now, this is my ex-dog, Penny, Peggy. She's no longer with us, Peggy. But when you look at a relationship between a dog and the dog owner, when you hand out a treat and the dog's paw goes up, what does the dog expect? That the food is going to go in its mouth. There's the trust there, isn't there? When somebody says, trust me, these are two incredibly loaded words. Trust is not something we do easily. And in the world of identity theft and scams, trust can be very dangerous. How many times do you see an email that promises the world, but the sender is trying to destroy your world? We have to be very careful and on our guard as trust is sadly deteriorating in our society. When I was teaching and also in youth work, I used to illustrate lessons or talks with several exercises about trust. One of the ones I used to do at school was where I got two volunteers and blindfolded them. And we had an obstacle course in front of us. One volunteer and the other two, and two other volunteers who weren't blindfolded. The blindfolded person was there and they had to navigate around some chairs and desks and tables. And the other two people, one was going to guide them accurately and the other one was going to guide them inaccurately. And obviously the rest of the class wanted the one that was guiding them inaccurately to win, because they wanted to see them walk into tables, fall over. And the person blindfolded had to work out which voice to trust. The one that didn't get them falling over was obviously the right answer. Then, of course, there's the trust fall, which we used to do in assemblies. And I'm sure you've seen this where, I won't do it to Martin because I don't want him to fall over. But you'd blindfold somebody and you'd be standing in front of them and say, so they'd be there, you'd be standing behind them and say, I'm going to stand back and I'm going to count to three and I want you to fall into my arms. But what you would do is you would go around in front of them, get somebody else to go behind them, and then you'd say, one, two, three. And of course, because your voice is now in front of them, they didn't know whether to trust you, and they wouldn't fall. And if they did, they were very clever, because they would be caught. Trust is incredibly risky. We live in a world of lies and broken relationships, sadly. And it's filled with people ready to abuse our trust. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm sure you've all got millions of passwords and you haven't got the foggiest idea what they are for each website or each app on your phone. And now when you want to, and as I'm always doing, forgetting my passwords for various sites, you're having to reset your password. And the things you have to go through now to reset your password. You have to put in your email address. You have to make sure you've got your phone with you. And they send you a code. And then you've got to put the code back into their website. And then they allow you then to put a new password in. And sometimes they want to recognize your face. And they want to recognize your finger. And everything else that goes with it. It's a palaver. But it's there to protect us. So who is worthy of our trust? Who do you trust? Well, that depends on the relationship with the person, isn't it? If someone asks you to trust them, do you? As I mentioned earlier, it probably depends on what your relationship is with that person. We live in a sinful world and trust must be earned. And the greater the trust, the greater the relationship bonds between the people. We have to be on our guard, as Ephesians tells us, to use the armour of God's protection. When we were born, we had no choice but to trust our parents. They were the great people, weren't they, our parents? They used to tell us lies about Father Christmas. And if you're good, you'll get the presents. Well, you could be bad and you still got them. But we still trusted them, didn't we? Family members, friends, spouses, doctors. How often do you go to the doctor and think, he's told me a pack of lies? You believe them, don't you? You believe them. Teachers, they normally prove themselves to be trustworthy. In each and every case, the trust is based on current and past experiences with those people. And when we are in the relationship that we have that sometimes gets broken, it's really, really sad, isn't it, when those relationship bonds are broken. I've mentioned about children trusting their parents, but what about the other way round? As parents, do we do our best to trust our children? I could see people go, no. But we know that they will test and bend that trust, won't they? And when they disappoint, we teach them how to earn back our trust. What I'm going to do this morning is just share a few scriptures from the Bible where we can look about what it means to trust God and the benefits of trusting God. Let's first of all have a look at Psalm 62. Can you see that okay? It says this: "Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." From this passage in Psalm 62, we can learn an awful lot about trusting God from the experience of David. These verses spell out the relational ties between God and David. And in that passage, you can see a number of names that he gives God. Let me sort of embolden them for you to see. And you can see he gives the name hope. He gives the name salvation. He gives fortress. He gives the name mighty rock. And he gives the name refuge. Spurgeon says this: "Observe how the psalmist David brands his own initials upon every name which he rejoicingly gives to his God. My expectation, my rock, my salvation, my glory, my strength, my refuge. He is not content to know that the Lord is all these things. He acts in faith towards him and lays claim to him under every character." Let's have a look at some words from Proverbs. The first one in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." And then in Proverbs 28, verse 26. "Those who trust themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom, who walk with the Lord, are kept safe." We often lean on our understanding, don't we? In other words, we put trust in our own judgments rather than perhaps listening to God. Perhaps it's in our finances, how we conduct our relationships, how to handle situations like our jobs, whether to change our job, how to think about where we live. Things like that. Quite often, we may ask God to bless our decision rather than asking God to guide us. In order to trust God with these decisions, we have to accept that we don't have all the answers. We have to accept that God knows better than what we do. This means letting go of our pride, letting go of what we think is right, letting go of doing things, letting go of embracing the wisdom and knowledge of the one who knows and sees everything. Perhaps you've heard this phrase before: let go and let God. It's quite a nice simple phrase to remember. If that's the one thing you take away this morning, remember that phrase: let go and let God. This story is not true, I'm going to tell you, as we're talking about truth. But it's good illustration. The story of a tourist who came to the edge of the Grand Canyon and he lost his footing and he plunged over the side. And he was desperately trying to cling on to something as he was falling down the Grand Canyon. And eventually, he clung onto a bush. But he was halfway down and halfway up. He was clinging onto this bush. And filled with terror, he cried up to heaven, "Is there anyone there?" And a calm, powerful voice came from above that said, "Yes, there is." The tourist pleaded, "Can you help me?" And the calm voice said, "Yes, I can. What's your problem?" "I fell over the cliff and I'm dangling holding a bush that's about to give way. Please help me." The voice from above said, "Do you believe I can help you?" "Yes, yes, I believe." "Do you trust me?" "Yes, yes, I trust you." "Well then, I want you to let go of the bush and everything will turn out fine." There was a tense pause before the tourist shouted, "Is there anybody else there?" We need to let go and let God. Trusting God and leaning not on our own understanding can be scary, like the tourist with the bush. It can put us in a vulnerable position. We're allowing ourselves to be at the mercy of God. But here's the irony. As much as we are thinking in God, as much as we think trusting in God is scary, it's actually something that brings peace. It says this in Isaiah, "You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." We heard those words from David as well when he said he's the mighty rock. When there's no trust in God, there's turmoil in our hearts and minds. Circumstances can cause us to worry, fear, and doubt. When we place our trust in God's provision and protection, we can be at peace no matter what is going on around us. When our minds are steadfast, which means firm and unwavering, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, then we see how much our problems are compared to how big God is. God is a secure rock we can cling to in the midst of the storm. As we read in Psalm 62, he is our refuge in times of trouble. He is our stronghold and he is our shelter. Romans 15 says this, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Have you ever felt hopeless? I have. You've lost hope in things and you think, this might not get better. What you've trusted in has let you down. God is the God of hope. When we trust in him, we will be filled with joy and peace and hope, and that hope will overflow not just into us, but happiness is contagious. It will flow into others as well. And they need to see that from us as Christians, don't they? It's a great form of witness. What is it about that person that makes them tick? A number of people who've come to the Lord seeing God in action in other people's lives. It's when we don't trust in God that things tend to go south. That's when we lose hope. That's when we lose the joy. That's when we lose peace. Trusting in God, as I've said before, can be scary. But it's nowhere near as scary as not trusting in him. And if we trust in God, but don't live it out. We say we're trusting God, but we don't put it into practice in our lives. Perhaps it's a bit like the situation Job found himself in. Job chapter 8, we read this. "Can papyrus grow tall when there's no marsh? Can reeds thrive without water? While still growing and uncut, they will wither more quickly than grass. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. So perishes the hope of the godless. What they trust in is fragile. What they rely on is like a spider's web. They lean on the web, but it gives way. They cling to it, but it does not hold. He leans on the web, but it gives way. He clings to it, but it does not hold. Everyone trusts in something. Money, people, power, themselves. But no matter what you put your trust in, if it's anything other than God, it will fail. Psalm 20 verses 6 to 8 says this. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand. Trust in God. You will survive. You will rise and stand firm. And in John 8:32, it says this. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Trusting with God with our lives involves multiple things. There are many aspects to our everyday lives. We have children to take care of, bills to pay, necessities to provide for. We have financial concerns. We have health concerns. We have security concerns. There are decisions to make, and we like to be in control of making those decisions. We want to go in the direction we want, but perhaps not place our trust in God to make those decisions for us. What if we don't like what God decides? What if God's will clashes with our will? I was always scared when I was a kid, growing up as a Christian, thinking God was going to send me to a faraway world to be a missionary. God gives you the desires of your heart. I had no desire to go to a faraway world in Africa to be a missionary. He sent me to Tamworth instead. Best. Can we really trust that he has our best in mind? The really simple answer is yes. He can be trusted with running our entire life. The irony is people think allowing God to run our lives is constricting and debilitating, when actually he frees us. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to figure everything out by ourselves. If we trust him to, he will show us what to do and where to go. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear, because we know that God loves us. Final verse for the morning. Psalm 56 verses 3 to 4. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God, who I've put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? So do we trust God? Do we really trust God? Then it should show in our lives. People who earn our trust also earn our time and devotion. Relationships that inspire trust are the ones in which we spend time and effort developing. And so this should be in our relationship with God. God is faithful and worthy of our trust. He will not fail us. He already did his part, because he sent his son. He suffered and died for our sins. He's worthy of our trust. Let's let go and let God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our armour, and that in you we can completely put our trust. Lord, we know that through the power of your Spirit you will protect us, you will guide us, and you will provide for us. Lord, sometimes it's scary putting our trust in you, sometimes walking into a place that we don't know. But we know, Lord, you've promised that you will be with us, you will protect us, and you will guide us, and you will be our great provider. Helping us, Lord, to let go and let you take care of us. Amen.